Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. And we are live tonight. It is December the 2nd, 2011. They said if I give you the date, then you know we're definitely live. Except the other part of the world when it's tomorrow or yesterday. But, we're going to be live until, I guess, the end of January. Then the next time we're going to take any trip. But I think I'm finally getting over jet lag. I was just telling Seth, the one who puts these shows together, all that traveling, you have to wait till your body catches up with you. Because you go so fast, you leave part of yourself over there, I think, in those other places. Okay, but I will welcome callers tonight. I liked that last week we had some callers. Because it does add something to the show, I think, whenever we have people call in. And we're going to have one main topic tonight that the readers, the listeners may be interested in. So they
maybe.
Maybe. Well, it's one of the big things yeah. all over the world that we're going to. But they may be wanting to call in with questions. But let me give out the toll-free number for anyone who does want to call in and ask questions tonight. The toll-free number is 1-888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. And I know last week we were still talking a little bit about the trip I just come back from. But one thing I didn't get to cover was we went to Ayers Rock this time and really spent several days there. And it is really different than anywhere else you could ever imagine on the planet. Julia said last year when we were flying over there, it was like flying over a different planet altogether. The landscape, the terrain is not like anything I've ever seen anywhere else in the world.
Did you get to see it this time from air?
Yeah.
It is different. Very different.
Because we thought some of it was, this is Julia is here tonight. And everybody who will come, people ask me, who's the other lady? That's my daughter. And on this trip, we took my granddaughter, which is Julia's daughter, Tiffany. And this was really new for her. She had never been to Australia before. So she got to see some things that people don't get to see. And one of them is going into the outback, into the middle of Australia, to Ayers Rock. It is in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
Desert. And when you're flying over it, some of it looks like, the stewardess said it was salt lakes, but it's like white. Like it was, they used to be salt seas, I guess, or salt lakes. And that tells me then that Australia was underwater at one time, be that far inland and have
either
salt
underwater
water.
Or had a lot of water.
Or salt water.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But this time it was something really amazing. As we were flying, we weren't into Ayers Rock yet, but as we came over this one huge thing, they told me later it was Lake Ayers, but there never is any water out there. Then all of a sudden, there was this huge body of water, but half of it was pink, and the other part looked like water, and I knew there's never any water out there, so the stewardesses got very excited, and they came back with their cameras, and they were pushing past me to take pictures out the window. They said this is something that has only happened two or three times in the history of modern man. They say they figure 200 years would be how long people, white man, has Europeans, they call them, have been in Australia. Mm-hmm. So in that 200 years, this had only happened two or three times, so it's very, very rare. But right now, they've been having an extremely large amount of rainfall, and even in the desert area. So that's what it was, and it made water in this usually a dry lake. And they said they had to get pictures of it because they said, this, you don't ever get to see it. But I said, why is half of it pink? And they said, they think it's just algae.
That red algae.
I guess, but it made half of it pink and the other half was like water. And I said, I'd never seen water out there before when we've flown over it. But they said, give it a week or so and it will all be dried up because it's so hot out there. But I know when we left, they were having more rain. And even when we were at Ayers Rock, it was raining this one morning, and they said all of this is very unusual. But at least it kept the flies away.
That's always good.
Because you're always inundated by the flies. But I wanted to really go out this time. We didn't get to the last time year we were there, to go out and see the rock up close. And it is really outstanding. It's like something from another world. It is so big and so huge, and it is red, but it changes color according to the different times of the day, the sunlight and the shadows. It can go from red to purple to blue to gray. But this time we was on a tour bus, and they took us all the way up to it. And we got to go out and go in around it and touch it. And usually from a distance, it looks like one huge rock. But when you get up to it, it's not like that at all. They're like, what do I call it? Like little mountains and little and big boulders and things, like it's separated. And so they took us into the middle of it. And so we were able to really go up and just touch it.
Yeah, that's good. Did it have any special energy or anything? Did you feel anything?
I thought it did. What I felt was old, real old energy. Because, you know, I'm not as in tune to energy as you are. But even Tiffany said she felt something like old about it.
Sometimes how that comes through is it's like a wise elder or something. It's like this. It knows so much. It's seen so much. That kind of how that old feeling is, you know.
It could be because it's been the sacred spot of the Aborigines forever. Maybe that's where it takes on that kind of energy.
Yeah, maybe.
But they took us into among the rocks, and there is a place there that's a well where there's usually water all the time. Another place they would think it would be sacred because they said it was sometimes when they have to walk to find water, it would sometimes be a whole day going from one water hole to the next when they're out there walking around. And I know only Aborigines could live out there. They know the secrets of how to live in that kind of climate. White man may learn, I guess, if they've been there a while, but they know how to survive. And they said you could walk for a whole day to get to the next water hole. But this one usually has water all the time. So that's another very important thing about it. And in my books, when I've written about Ayers Rock, and some stories I haven't even put in books yet about people who were back in those times, said that there were caves that had drawings on the wall. And I wanted to see if there was. Of course, there's a lot of Ayers Rock, like every other place in the world, that's off limits.
And those places that are off limits are the parts that have those. That's all the sacred places, probably.
Yeah, that's what I always wonder. Why is some of these places off limits? Everywhere we go, we can only see one part that they allow you to see, and there's always something else you're not allowed to go into. And but this one cave, we were allowed to go into it, and there were drawings on the wall. But according to what I've got in my books, you know, that there were beings from other planets that came and lived among them. And they were like glowing energy spirits. And they taught them a lot. And in the one, I think it's one of the convoluted books, there's a story of where they took the children to their planet to teach them things. And they were to come back and teach the other people because the children were more easy to teach, where the adults would be afraid. And, of course, they were kind of afraid of them, but they said they tried the best they could after they finally all left to picture them in drawings. Of course, the guide, his explanations for the drawings are totally different than what I had. They said these were drawings, they were like concentric circles. Not like a labyrinth. They were just circles inside of circles. And they had about five of these on the wall. And they were all over, five over here, five over there. And he said that just meant it told the other Aborigines that there was water there. But how do you know? That might have been their pictures, their interpretation of the spacecraft being round.
And right. That was, well, they were circles within circles?
Yeah.
That almost sounds like a tube. You know, or what would a wormhole maybe look like? Maybe it's their way of transport, you know, or...
Well, in the book, they said they just took them instantly anyway.
Okay.
But, you know, they would be yellow, just circles around circles around circles. Mm-hmm. And but they said that means there was water. And sometimes they were hooked together, too, with a little, like a tube thing.
Oh, uh-huh. Okay.
But they had explanation for a lot of the drawings, but there was one that I couldn't find, even in the souvenir shop, they had explanations of the drawings. This one they didn't have. And there was like drawings of supposed to be beings, of people. They didn't have any features, but all around the top of their head were lines, if you want to look at it, looking like a giant eyelash. You know what I mean? All these straight lines.
Kind of like radiating.
Yeah, it was like a
radiating. Kind of like somehow when you draw a sun, it has the line, the radiating out, indicating light radiating out.
But it would look like just... I mean, if you want to picture that around the top of the head, there were just like all these lines, like a giant eyelash.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they didn't have anything anywhere. They said, "What was that?"
Right.
But how do I know? It may have been their interpretation of beings that glowed.
Right. That's what I meant, like
and radiated,
sparkled. Yeah.
Because how else are they gonna, as a native, going to interpret something?
Right. Well, how would we interpret that if we were going to draw it? If we didn't have colors, you know, to show something coming out. You know, how do you?
Especially if you don't know.
That's probably why we draw the sun the way we do. If you know, it always has those little light, meaning that heat and light is
light
radiating
is,
out.
Yeah, light is coming out of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. We always picture it in that way. But, yeah, if you don't know anything and the only thing you've got is just to make drawings, how would you depict something like that? But to me, that was giving me more answers than it was the other people on the tour because it made sense to me. That's what I told him when the guide, I said, is there any way we're going to be able to see any drawings on cave walls? He said, yeah, this one cave we'll let you go into.
Well, that was nice. I got to see one.
Yeah, but that's part of the regular tour. But they said there's a whole lot of it. That thing is huge. It's much, much bigger than you think it is.
Well, if that's what they'll let you see, imagine what is in the ones that you couldn't see.
Yeah, there must be something more there. But of course, some of them, they say it's kind of dangerous to go into them. You could get hurt, and they have pathways to go into these. But that thing is much, much bigger than I imagined it was. Then we finally we drove around to the other side. They have where they have you can go up. Of course, they don't want you to go up. The Aborigines don't want people to climb on the rock, but they have this. It's been there for a long, long time. It's like chains going up, and there's posts driven in metal posts driven into the rock, so that if you were going to go up, you could hold on to that to climb easier. That goes all the way up. They said that's the place they recommend you climb because it's safer. But then they say they really don't want you to, but right now they haven't made it illegal yet, but they will because they really don't want people climbing on it. It is a sacred spot.
Well, it's kind of funny. I always had to, I remember last year I was there, and they say, we really don't want you to do it, but if you do, I mean, so it's like they were always discounting everything, and then like that, we really don't want you to go up there, but there's a chain that you can use to hold as you go up. I mean,
that's
it's like we provide all the ways for you to get there, but we really don't want you to do it. I mean, talk about mixed messages.
Yeah, contradictions. And there's signs all over the place from the Aborigines say, this is our sacred spot. We really don't want you climbing on it.
And it's their land, as I recall.
Yeah, they have
it. So why can't they say, no, do not do it?
Well, now it's a national park, but it does belong to the Aborigines.
Yeah, they purchased it, as I recall.
Yeah, they bought it, and so it belongs to them.
So that means they can say no.
But, you know, people.
But it's theirs now. It's private property, and they can say no, you may not do it.
I didn't realize they had some other rules too that I didn't know until we were there. You're not supposed to take pictures. And they said the first thing you do when you get there is start mm-hmm. taking out cameras.
Mm-hmm.
But they said the main rule is to not use them for commercial use. Mm-hmm. But they said, how do they know what you're going to use the pictures for? Mm-hmm. And there was a story, this one, the driver gave me a book of newspaper articles that he'd been cutting out for years. And one story was a woman who had written a children's book about a little bear, little stuffed teddy bear. And she took him up there, and she set him on top of Ayers Rock and took a picture. And this was on the cover of the book. Whatever his name was goes to Ayers Rock. And they said when they found out about that, she was fined a whole lot of money because
she was making money off of it.
She wasn't supposed to be doing it commercially.
Right.
But they say first thing you do is get your cameras out, and they don't know what you're going to do with the with the pictures afterwards. So there's a lot of rules, but it's like they're not really enforced.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to respect their beliefs. Mm-hmm. The same way with our Indian tribes and things. You know, like I said before, Sedona was never supposed to have any people living there.
Right.
It's sacred spots, too. But, you know, you try to respect beliefs, but it doesn't always work out like that.
Right.
But anyway, it was really an adventure to get to go up and touch the rock and get to see these things. And I sat down on a bench there and just enjoyed the energy all around me.
Mm-hmm. That would be the thing to do there. That was really soak it in. Because last year we were way too far from it.
We only had one day.
You could only see it. You really couldn't get the energy of it.
That's why this year I wanted to have a couple of days so we could really get to have the adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And on the one rock, they have a story that they tell. It's like carvings. It's just natural markings on the rock. And one is supposed to be a python.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a python, when you look at it. And the other one is about a python woman and all of this. And I asked the guide, are there pythons out here? And he said, oh, yeah. That's why we tell you, stay on the path. You know, don't go off the path because there's critters out there, especially reptiles. But he was telling the story, and he said, this is all the Aborigines will tell us on these stories. They're supposed to be the stories of the beginning of the earth, the beginning of man, and all of that. But these are what they tell the children, which means it's the simplest stuff there is. And that's what I was telling him. You know, even in the Bible, they have the interpretations for the beginner people. And then there's always the other interpretations for the more advanced as you go through anything. Because they've said even the parables in the Bible have their simple explanation for the masses, mm-hmm. and then you have the more complicated, deeper meanings. This is in all sacred literature everywhere. So you can bet, he said, what the Aborigines were telling them was like telling a child.
Right.
Because they didn't want them to know the deeper meanings.
Right.
And I know there's a lot more to it.
So what were their stories? Or did he tell?
He told some of the stories, but they were very simple.
Oh, okay.
Like some of the Indian legends, the trickster and all of that. They're very simple, like they're talking to a child without going into the deeper meanings.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, well, you know snakes represent wisdom, don't you? Wisdom. And he said, no, I didn't know that. So why is there a snake on the side of the rock and there's this rock with a head, the two rocks that looks like a python if you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a deeper meaning.
Land of wisdom.
It's got deeper meanings than they think. And of course, you know, there they have the dream time. And to them, what I've researched and I wrote in my books, the dream time is what they say when you're on Earth.
Yeah.
Because they know the real mm-hmm. life is on the spirit side.
Right, and this is the illusion.
Yeah.
Or when you're dreaming.
Mm-hmm. So they say when they come to Earth to live a life, they're in dream time. And so when they die and go back, they're glad to leave because they're going back to their real home. Yeah, they're waking up and going back to their real home. So that's what they mean by dream time.
Mm-hmm.
this is dream time. This is not real. This is the illusion.
So see, we're just waiting to wake up. That's all it is. So,
yeah, that's what we keep saying.
You knew this wasn't real, see?
Well, they were smarter than we are. It took a lot of their old beliefs are very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
They're much more spiritual than modern man, I guess you would.
Oh, absolutely. All of the Aborigines are.
You know, Indian natives, mm-hmm. Even the ones in
right.
Africa, they have more spiritual beliefs because they're closer to it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was what the real dream time is. And then they have the walkabout. That's when young man gets old enough, he's sent out, and he has to walk. He has to survive.
Mm-hmm. Figure his way back, doesn't he?
Yeah. You can't come back for so many days. You've got to be out there on your walkabout and try to find something to eat. You got to find water. You got to find a way to survive. That's what the walkabout is.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I've written about these and done a lot of research. I wanted to really see it up close, and it's very interesting. I'm glad I this time finally got to go.
Right, that was good.
And Tiffany really enjoyed it because she has just finished her schooling. Graduated with her master's, and now she's going to be going into the workforce.
Right, the career world.
Yeah, so she would not ever have a chance once she gets into the career world.
Well, it would be a while if she... Yeah.
To take off right. 2 months to just travel all over and
right.
get to see these mm-hmm. things.
Right.
So she was really enjoying it. Okay, but so there was a lot more of Australia, but that was one... The other places I've been to before, but that one was different. We had a few days off. My schedules are so hectic that I just going from lectures and all over the place. I was doing about 6 cities, I think it was, lectures and all of those. We had classes. So when I have some time off, I like to something to enjoy myself, not think about work.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting. Okay, but that was that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I wanted to bring that in because I do like to tell people about these things when I go these different places. Okay, so now the main thing I want to talk about tonight is the New Earth, because everywhere I go now, this is the main topic of the lecture. We get the same questions asked again and again and again. So if anybody out there who has questions about the New Earth that they want to bring up, this would be the perfect night to do it, because I've got an email here where somebody was trying to understand it. Like, we get lots of them.
Right.
And you know, at the lectures, too, they ask the same questions no matter how many times I give the lecture in what city. It was in Singapore doing it, even, and even in India.
Mm-hmm.
Same questions everywhere.
Right.
People are trying to understand.
Right. We're trying to understand. It shows, again, how we're all so similar.
And trying to understand what is not understandable,
mm-hmm.
which makes you think, anyway. But everywhere we go, they want to know the same thing. You know, I've written the new book, The Three Waves and A Volunteers and The New Earth. That came out in June. Oh, that has really sold a lot. In 1 month, we sold out the whole first printing. And you said now the second printing, we doubled the amount of
mm-hmm.
books printed, and that is about gone. But that deals a lot with the New Earth. But everywhere we go, people have questions about it, and that's my main lecture. Even when we were in Russia, the beginning of 2011, in April, we were in Russia, and I was giving a class in Moscow, and I hadn't intended on bringing up any of that, because we were focused on the class. What we had been there for, we'd done the class for 5 days, and we just finished 6 days, really, including the advanced class. And we were getting ready to wind it up, and we thought, this is enough. It's very tedious. A 3-day class turned into 5 days because of the translation and the back and forth with our translator. She's a wonderful girl, but still it is tedious to go back and forth with the translation.
Right.
So we were winding up and figured that was the end of it. But then some of the people in the class said, "Can you tell us anything about the new Earth?" Well, that time I was getting tired, and I said, "Oh, that's a big subject. It's going to take a long time to explain it." I said, "You know, and we're done now." But then they were saying, "Please, please tell us something. All we're hearing is the negative, the end of the world, the bad things about the new Earth in 2012. So say, please tell us something anyway." So I spent another half hour focusing on that and answering their questions. And you said you could see a difference just letting them know something, because
They brightened up. The energy in the room just completely lightened and brightened. And so you knew that you affected. There was an effect there.
Because they're thinking it's the end of the world, and that's all the information they're getting is the doom and the gloom stories. And I kept telling them, no, it's not going to be like that at all. Even that one woman who was sitting there during the whole class, she hadn't smiled. She looked real glum. And by the end of me talking about that, it was the first time she was smiling and seemed softer, and there was a change. And like you said, you could feel it over the whole room, like, well, it's not the end of the world. There is hope out here. There is something very big going on here, and it's not negative at all. And those movies they make, like the one 2012, it's all the disaster type, you know, doom and gloom movies. That's not it at all. It's not going to be anything like that.
Well, it will be for the ones who create it like that. You get enough people thinking that's the reality. Remember, we're in the state now. We always have been. We create our reality. So if you have enough people thinking that's how it's going to be, their world will be that way.
Well, we say many times, you draw to you what you believe.
Right.
Like attracts like.
Right.
And same thing as there's no hell. But if you want to believe in it, sure enough, you're going to create it.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, if they think it's going to be a really bad situation, well, then that's what they will create. But that's not the information I've got, and I've got this from hundreds of people, and that's why I pulled it out of all of the material I had to put it in that book, because it was spread out over a couple of the Convoluted Universe books, and then I was getting more material, and somebody said, why don't you pull it out and put it all into one book? So in the three waves of volunteers, we go into these people who have volunteered to come here to help the Earth as it makes its transition into the new Earth. And then I had to explain what the new Earth was. You have some wonderful explanations, too, of things that you've been getting that
They help to understand. They really help to understand it.
Yeah, because she kind of gets visuals and pictures.
Well, I think that's because that's how I can how I understand things. So that's how I'm given things. So.
And it did help a lot because this is a big subject, and they told me but all my questions never be answered because they said nobody really knows for sure what is going to happen. Even they don't know.
Well, and it's because of this instant manifestation, and we are the creators, and we are calling the shots. It used to be year to year or whatever, it was longer periods of time. Now it's second to second. So it's constantly moving. So you can't stand here and say this is how it's going to be because we're in charge of this and we're making this happen. And it's as our consciousnesses are shifting, we are creating this in the manner that we want it. And the faster we realize that we're doing this whole thing, the smoother we can make this, you know. But as long as we keep going, oh, it's going to be horrible and traumatic and all this stuff, then we're making that, you know. So, and there is a natural certain amount of things going on just because that's the Earth doing her thing. Also, it's the universe shaking people to get them to wake up and to that realization that you're in charge. You're creating this. You're making this. So how about make it a little smoother for yourself, you know? So,
Because you're right, you know, the time has speeded up and things are changing more. Mm-hmm. That's what I've told people. You know, I had it in one of my books, I can't even remember which one it was, that time has definitely speeded up and they have proved this. I don't remember, some people in one of the lectures wouldn't know what was the name of this scientific study. I put it in the book, but I can't remember the name of it. Right. But according to that, we are living 16-hour days now instead of 24-hour days.
Yeah, but that was, how many years ago was that?
Well, 3 or 4, and now
exactly.
It's even speeded
It'd
up
more. It'd be even
more.
I doubt that we're even getting 16 hours now.
Probably not. It
I'm
doesn't
hearing
feel
12.
Like.
I'm hearing 12. 12? Yeah.
It
I wouldn't doubt that a bit.
It doesn't feel, it feels like it to me because, I mean, first thing you know, we get up, and the next thing you know, it's time to go
right.
to bed.
I know. I can't get all my work done, that's for sure. There is not enough time in the day to do it at all.
And even when I'm traveling, the days just go so fast. I don't know where this year has gone.
Right.
Because.
But then on the other side of that coin is there is no such thing as time, and we can manipulate it. So as soon as I say I don't have enough time to get everything done, there are times that I will manipulate time, and I have all the time in the world,
yeah,
and I can make...
Time can expand
exactly,
or contract.
Exactly. You can manipulate, and like I said, when we're traveling, you can really see that, how there is no time. You know, it's so malleable, and it's so, I mean, it's just of our own construct, so...
That was what they said when they couldn't answer all my questions, because they said, this is the first time in the history of a universe that something like this has happened, when the entire planet is going to move into another dimension, changing its frequency and vibration and moving into another dimension. It's the first time in the history of a universe, so they have no idea what's going to happen. So it's like sit back and watch, enjoy the ride, because you don't really know. They said it's the greatest show on Earth. The ETs are all out there watching. Are we going to be able to do this? Are we going to be able to pull this off? But they did say, no matter what the clock says, you're not living 24-hour days anymore. But that's, like I said, I don't know where the year went. I know we started on this trip at the end of June, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, here it is December. The whole time has gone by. But there are some questions that people keep asking. This one email that I get lots of these, but this one I pulled out for some reason and kept it. It came in this year, probably after one of my shows that I'm focusing on, or maybe one of these lectures. But now the book's out, and so we're getting many more questions on this. And they always go back to the Bible, what the Bible says. Because, you know, this whole thing is mentioned in the Bible. It's in the book of Revelation, where they talk about the new heaven and the new earth, and where some will be left and some will be taken. They have a number of people, but it's not going to be that exact number.
I don't know. I'm sure that number, because numbers represent things. They're symbols, and so maybe it's something like that. It's a symbology or something. I don't know. Otherwise, why would they put a specific number in there? So it must have some meaning. We just maybe don't know what.
Well, so. Whenever John had the vision that he wrote about in the book mm-hmm. of Revelation, he had the vision on the Isle of Patmos. He had no idea it was going to be thousands of years before it came to pass, and he was writing it in the symbolism the best he could, because there were things he saw that he didn't understand. He saw wars, he saw all these things, he didn't know what it was. But it definitely has to be with the some are taken and some are left, and that's where people are confused. Well, this, let me read part of this here, this woman. She said she figures she's a highly evolved being, and she is a light worker, and so some of this she can get. But this other part she said are hard to understand. The Bible tells me about the new heaven and earth, but my understanding of this is that that will be when we die and are in spirit, vibrating at a very high level. This is not something that is physical. And that's what she gets from the Book of Revelation, mm-hmm. that when you enter the new heaven and new earth is when you die. Well, we are going to be vibrating at a very high level.
Well, and see, one time somebody said that before, I heard someone at a lecture actually saying, you will die, do it. And I was thinking, well, what's the point in that? We do that every lifetime. That's nothing new. This is supposed to be something different, something new that, you know, that we're doing on this physical level. So that doesn't make any sense to die.
That's what people have asked me in the lectures. Do I have to die to go to the new earth? No. Mm-mm. When you go, you will take your physical body with you.
Right.
But you will be vibrating at a different level because we have to change our vibration and frequency in order to resonate with the earth as it changes its vibration and frequency. Because the earth is a living being and it is going into its next incarnation. And it's pulling away from the old earth and moving, changing its vibration to move into the next dimension. And for us to go with it, we have to change our own vibration and frequency. And it's a gradual process. I figure it's been happening since about 2003. That's when we first began to notice the difference, the things that were happening. And maybe other people out there who have been aware will be noticing the difference. But it's the changing of the vibration. But they said you will first take your body with you, then after you're over there for a long time, we will eventually turn into light, the light beings, the ones that I've talked to. Mm-hmm. So she says here that this would happen when we die and our spirit vibrating at a very high level. We're going to be vibrating at a high level, but we're not in spirit form.
Right.
That's the difference. She said this is not something that is physical. Also, some people are confused.
Well, and I think it's just because it's hard. There's a difficulty in wrapping your mind around this concept that we're just going to, you know, but you have to, it's a physics thing. You raise your vibrations, you disappear on this level. But you're still existing. It didn't mean you died. You just shifted your frequency.
Well, in my books, it was talking about, in fact, it was one of these last ones, that if somebody were to come from the 1800s even, were to come back, to come forward to our time.
No, it was the other way around.
The other way around, that if
somebody from this time were to go back
to the 1800s, that the people at that time would see us as glowing energy spirits.
Right.
Because we're vibrating at a different frequency than we were in the 1800s.
Right, exactly.
And if you want to get deep into this, the 1800s still exists,
mm-hmm.
and we travel there all the time with past mm-hmm. life regression. All of these are existing at different mm-hmm. levels, different dimensions, and that's why we're able to go there. It's like tuning a radio station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but they said for us to go back there, we are vibrating at a higher a level, so they would see us as glowing energy spirits.
Right.
And that explained when I was doing the Nostradamus material, too. He saw us as glowing spirits, and I couldn't understand why. And they said because we were coming from so far in the future, which makes perfect sense.
Absolutely.
When I get it from all these different things, different angles, you know, it gives it more validity.
Yeah, see, so it's already like that. So it's not like there's any major monumental thing that's going to happen that's going to make this. It's already happening. In fact, like I've said in the lectures, they've told me, it's already done.
You will see it
when you believe it. You'll actually see the proof of it. But we just keep putting it off till next year. Before whatever this
2012
this thing's going to happen, and then we're going to be able to see it, and then we're going to be so disappointed because nothing's different. And it's because it's already done, and we've been living in it all this time. But that's proof right there. We go back to the past. We're already vibrating higher, so that shows we've been doing it. So actually, it goes beyond 2003. It's probably been going on for a long time.
Probably
just has. By the nature of. Of the whole being, you know, just the earth and how the whole frequency, how the whole energy thing goes, period. We just do it as time goes or something.
Mm-hmm. Which makes a lot more sense because we are vibrating at a different frequency. But the way this means is then whenever the whole Earth moves mm-hmm. into the other dimension and the ones who go with it, it becomes invisible to the old Earth because it is vibrating at such a
okay, I have a question
rate.
For people out there. How many of you have found yourself to be invisible? I have several times. I mean, you're standing in line someplace, or I mean, I'm waiting for somebody to wait on me, and they waiting on everybody else around me, and then finally I'm going, what? I get ticked off, and I'm like, what, am I invisible? I'm being sarcastic, you know, am I invisible? And then it dawns on me, oh, I am. So you have to kind of, once you realize that, suddenly it brings your vibration back, and then they see you.
Yeah.
I've had times when I've been in the car, too, and I can tell cars don't see me. They're almost hitting me, you know, and I have to, it's like you have to get conscious about it. So
yeah, we've had mm-hmm. other people tell right. us that, too. They'd be in, like, mm-hmm. in Starbucks or something
right.
waiting to get coffee, and nobody waits on them.
Right.
And all of a sudden they say something, and the clerk is startled. That there
yeah.
they are.
Yeah, how many times do people say, I didn't even see you there? And we think they're just in another place. No, you're in another place. You know, you are invisible at those points.
Well, that mm-hmm. means we are shifting. We're vibrating yes. already. We're mm-hmm. just not really aware of it.
Well, it's because it's already done. It's already, and we just don't believe it yet. Those are some of your little signs that it's already occurred.
They've said that. Don't figure it's going to happen next year.
Exactly.
It's already there. Your new Earth is already
That's
here.
Just
We're
a
in the
point.
Middle.
That was just a guideline. It's going to be somewhere. It's when consciousness is in that point. We're there. Now, it's when we become aware of it. That's when we believe it. That's when we become aware and we're all saying, yeah, we're already here. That's when the rest of the stuff catches up and we actually create it. Right now, we're in this limbo thing, and we're not believing it yet. So
uh-huh.
that's why we still see the evidence of all of it. You know, we don't see just the new Earth because we don't believe that's where we are.
So. We're still going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Let me finish the rest of this. But she says, you say there will be a conscious shift into a new dimension, but this is not a physical shift. As she understands mm-hmm. it, but it is definitely a physical shift, much as we can understand it. But then you seem to contradict that and say there will be two Earths, the old Earth where all the disasters will happen and the new Earth where the people of the higher vibration will live. Is this physical? It is. That's mm-hmm. where she's having a problem
right.
with it,
right.
thinking of it more like a spiritual world. All right, he says, here's a question we get at every single lecture. Are some of my friends going to stay in the old physical Earth and I will be in the new physical Earth?
Right.
Will my neighbors who vibrate at an extremely low level be still there and I will be somewhere else? He said, I don't understand. Please explain. Yeah. That's what they said, even in the Bible, that two people sleeping together, one is taken and one is left. Two people working together, one is taken and one is left. That's where it gets really complicated. But it has to do with those who want to stay with the old Earth, and some people are into negativity. They're into that vibration.
They love the drama.
That's
some people
a good way
absolutely
to put it.
Love the drama,
and
which
so
is perfectly okay.
They
whatever
will
you
stay
want.
There with the old Earth. They said it doesn't matter. Eventually they'll all get there anyway, but
mm-hmm.
it's just going to do it a different degree.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't. You can't shift immediately because the energy would be too much for the body. It would destroy the body. So it has to be a gradual process. So the ones that are still vibrating at that low negative energy, they can't shift fast enough to go. But that's okay. They will stay with the old Earth as they separate and move apart. And then it will become invisible. Tell the part that you were saying about why people, they say they see these old things happening, and
mm-hmm.
yet they, does that mean I'm still in the old Earth on the
right.
news and things?
Well, it started with, I was shown, it was one point, I can't remember what was going on, but I had a choice of how I wanted to look at something, and depending on how I looked at it, it would change my reality. And it was just something real trivial, But it was, that was the way it was. And so, and they said, well, I said, well, I can look at it this way, or I can look at it this way. And that's two different worlds, really. And they said, yes, that's how it is. That's your two Earths. And I thought, and then that's when they showed me, and they showed me the two Earths superimposed over each other. And then they said, you are there, and that's why you can see everything, is because they're sitting so close together. You can still see the things on both places, really. And they said, but it's your choice which way you want to view it. And that's what puts you in one world or the other. And that's where you have to look at, yeah, you see all these disasters, all these catastrophes, you see these things, but you have to ask yourself, are they really part of your world? And is it really happening to you? Because that's when it's your world. Now, if you're just watching it, that isn't your world unless you get emotionally involved. Then it becomes your world. And that's where at any point you can make it your world. And then that's your reality. And that's where, and that's what I'm saying, that's that tricky part where you have to really see that you're in charge of your world. Because it's how you look at it. That's what they show. These two are sitting on top of each other and we can see them. It's like, well, yeah, like watching television, you're viewing it. But just because you watch a movie on TV does not mean that that's your reality. You know that's fiction. That's a story. Well, you can look at, this is the same thing, but at any moment you could get emotionally involved in that story and it can consume you and become your reality, and there you go. It is then. So, but that's where they showed that. And then they were showing that gradually, as you make your choices, how you're going to look at things, then that moves you a little further from the other one. Each time you're moving a little further. And this is an individual thing that's happening here. Each person is making their choices of how to view things. And that moves them back and forth and then in the manner that they want to go. It's a very gradual thing. That's why it has been. But little by little, you are choosing the way. You know, one will start feeling better than the other. And then that's where you're moving, and then they start moving apart. And then as it gets far enough apart, and it was through another vision that they showed me exactly when the two actually split and you don't see the other. But as they get further apart, you will stop being able to see the other over there because it's too far apart. So
you said it's like dimensions, so layers of dimensions in between.
Yeah, that's
too.
Where they showed that. That was the other vision. The visual was that they showed it from a side view. And like the two Earths sitting here, it's hard for me to do it without all my hand motions.
Yeah, for the lecture, you always got the hand motion.
Right, how to do this on the radio. But you have the two sitting next to each other, and then they showed me it's like you had a lot of slices between, so let's call those layers between the two. And the one was sitting here red hot, and the other, it's like at the other end, it's like showed two ends of a spectrum, and the other end was this beautiful light blue. And it had just wonderful floaty feeling. And this other one, just the red is intense. It's intense emotions.
Drama.
If that's what it was saying. It was like drama. It's very intense drama. It's all your. It's like the most. So each of these are the extremes. And then it had all these lines in between. And we're all scattered all throughout there. Okay, we're all in there somewhere. And then through our choices, we move one way or the other toward the drama or toward the light and airy feeling. And I, as I said on the stages, I could swear I know we're going to be able to fly there because that's how it feels. It's just very light. It's just light.
Mm-hmm.
So, and so we make choices how we view things. Every time we react to something, it's a choice. And how we do it determines which way we move within this spectrum, we'll say. And at some point, something might happen, and it gets us, and we get caught up in the drama, and we get caught up, and so we move slightly toward the red one. And then it's not saying good, bad, indifferent. It's just saying that's, you know, we're into that. That's the movement we made. And then the next time, okay, we make a choice, and we make it to go without the drama. We want to, you know, it's this other way, without all that stuff in it. And we go, oh, I like how this feels. And then we do that. And then the next one, we get caught in the drama, and it pulls us back. We're like, oh, I forgot about that. Oh, yeah, that's heavy. That's yucky. I don't like that. So then we start getting conscious, and we start consciously choosing how we're going to react. And so then the next thing I was like, okay, I remember how that that felt when I did that. So I'm going to do it this way this time. And so each time we do that, then we're moving further. We're not just waffling in the middle back and forth. We are making progressive steps to the one that we want to go in. And then as we do that, you know, then we're, that's us moving to the new earth. What someone asked then was, well, when do the two separate? And what I saw was when there were no more people in the middle. Everyone has chosen which way they're going, and there's no more in the middle on the fence. So when they do that, then the two are no longer visible to each other.
And the year 2012 doesn't mean anything.
Well, you can see how it doesn't. Now,
they said it's just a date.
Right, it is. But you can, only thing it has in there is we have people becoming more conscious. So it's really that hundreds monkey or the mass consciousness thing. As more and more people do this, then that helps to move them in one direction or the other. It helps get more out of that middle. It's the middle is the dead zone, really. It just get people out of that middle, and then this will shift. The whole thing will happen. It's already there. We just got to get them out of the middle so that we know we're there.
Well, they said it won't just be like all of a sudden, boom, and something dramatic is going to happen, and you're into the new earth. It won't be that way. It'll be so slow and so subtle, you won't even realize anything has happened.
Right.
It's just like one day you might say, you wake up and you say, what if things seem better? It seems like, you know, it's lighter. It seems like it's a good day. Everything is different.
Well, again, it's like to that thing, like they're saying, and what they've shown me, and that's why I use it, it's you're letting your emotions be your barometer. Because that's that yucky drama feeling or the light and airy. See, why that feels nice is because you're not carrying all that junk. So that's why it's a lighter world. You're going to go, oh, I like how this feels. It's because it feels good, you know, and that's what I mean by you're using that as your barometer on which way to go. I think it said how you know the old earth from the new earth. The old earth is drama. The new earth is light, ease, and joy. So that helps you know by your emotional barometer. If it's drama, you know that's in the direction of the old earth. If it's light, ease, and joy, that's in the direction of the new earth.
Mm-hmm.
So you let that be your guide. And so then, of course, you're going to wake up and you're going to start realizing
things feel different.
They feel different. I think it's what it's going to be is we have less and less drama. It won't just all of a sudden be gone. We just find out we have less and less, and then all of a sudden, there's no drama. And that's when your world is going, oh, my goodness, wow, this is nice. You know, I like this world. Then you realize, oh, I am in a new place. But it's so subtle.
Very slow. That's what they said. It's not going to be dramatic like they try to show on TV, in the movies. It's not going to be that way at all. Because we are constantly going in and out of other dimensions.
Right.
Like you were saying, whenever you feel you're invisible, you're constantly moving in and out of them, and you don't even know the difference.
Right, and so the next time you become aware that you're invisible, then just make note of that. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, I was there, because I'm just one of those that likes to know what's going on, so I've asked to be aware when I'm shifting and when I'm going in and out, because we do it constantly, we're just not aware of it. So that's one of your little indicators that you're in another dimension, you know, is that you're invisible. So then that can go, oh, yay, I'm aware of it, you know.
Because I've written, I don't remember which one of the convoluted books it was in, the convoluted universe, but there's a whole section on dimensions and how people, they've sent me emails, they sent me their stories, of very strange stories of how they knew something was going on because they were definitely shifting in and out of other dimensions. I have one story in the new book where this woman wanted to know about it. She was driving on a freeway, and she said she looked in her rearview mirror and saw a car was in a crash right behind her. But then when she turned around and looked, there was nothing. So she wanted to know, otherwise you'd be a chain reaction of all the other cars. She wanted to know what that was, and in the session it told her she temporarily went into another dimension where the wreck occurred, but it wasn't in hers. So they said we're constantly going in and out of these, and unless something like that happens, you're not even going to notice you're there. And I've had other people. I had one who was in Florida, and she was out jogging one morning, and she saw what looked like a huge airliner coming in over the top of the trees, and she could even make out the insignia on the tail and everything. It was coming in and like it was going to crash. And she said, oh my gosh, an airliner's crashing over there. So she ran all the way back to the house to turn on the news, and there was nothing about anything like that. So in her session, it came out that while she was jogging, she went into another dimension where there was an airport over there, and a plane was landing. So, see, all these dimensions have something that's a little different, but you're in and out of them, and you just may say, well, that's a strange experience. I wonder what happened there.
Right.
Now, how many of you are driving, and you say, well, didn't there used to be a store right there or something? I remember a restaurant or something near a gas station because it was there in another dimension. Unless something gets our attention, we don't really pay attention to it.
Yeah.
So it's happening all the time. So the new Earth is just another event that's going to be bigger. It's never happened before, but otherwise it's very similar to what you go in and out of all the time. Some people say they have one foot in each world all the time, shifting back and forth. And that's where a lot of the psychic abilities come from, too.
Well, yeah, I just heard that's a direct pipeline, then, when you do that.
But in the book, one of the Tom alluded, I've got a whole lot of these stories that people have sent me that are really, really strange. Until you figure out, well, it's happening all the time to everybody, they're just not aware of it.
Right.
And they said, well, I must have been imagining that. But, so this is the world we live in. It's not as solid and concrete and as you think it is.
I think that's what one of the things that the earthquakes are trying to show us is that it's not solid earth. Just be flexible. You know, don't expect anything to be solid. So
okay, we're coming up to the time to stop again. Seems like it goes so fast when we get on here. But I was wanting to bring that up, and that email kind of hit some of the main points. But every lecture, they're asking the same questions. And so I wonder how to clear that up as best we can. And in the new book, Convoluted 4, I have some more about the new Earth. Information still keeps coming in. Next week, well, we're going to try to have a guest next week. But when I get next time I'm on here just to talk, I'll be talking about the new book, which is at the printers now.
Convoluted, it's coming out very soon. So.
Convoluted Book 4, you said it should be out before the middle of December. It should be in the stores. It's home.
I don't know about in the stores yet. It'll be shipping out at that point. It takes a little bit to get into the stores. So.
Yeah, but Amazon has been telling everybody it's available. So I said, I don't think
so. Not quite. It's almost available.
But this means when it ships out of the printers, it'll be at Amazon.
Right.
Anyway, okay, but so this is that's it for tonight, I guess, and we'll join you again live next week. So I want to thank everybody for listening tonight, and everybody had a good evening.
Bye. Make it great.